Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
All right, 5 o'clock fire. Clint Sterner is out, but in for him, Wade Smith. He's in all week. 12-year NFL vet, former Houston Texan, is with us. And the big news dropping about an hour or two before our show. The Cardinals are giving J.J. Watt a 2-year, $31 million deal that includes $23 million guaranteed per sources. That coming from ESPN. 2 years, $31 million. J.J. Watt is an Arizona Cardinal with DeAndre Hopkins. Are you surprised? And do you think this was a money move from J.J. Watt?
I don't think it was a money move alone. I think that played a factor in it. Of course, it always going to play a factor into it. But the Arizona Cardinals have set themselves up in a position to where now they can start to compete with some of the big boys in the NFC. I look at the Arizona Cardinals last season, they were 8-8. They were 8-6 or 8-5 at a certain point in the year, and they were in the playoffs. And then Kyler Murray got injured down the stretch, and they couldn't pull out a couple of games. They just needed to win one of them to make it to the playoffs. They didn't win that game when Kyler was beat up. And out of those games, their backup quarterback was just not a good football player at all. And so because of that, they didn't make the playoffs. But they bring a lot of people back from that team last year. Chandler Jones, that didn't play much of the last year because he was injured, he'll be back. You add J.J. Watt to that defense, there's some familiarity there with him and Vance Joseph and his time here with the Texans. I expect the defense to get better. A guy like Isaiah Simmons, I think he's going to have more opportunities to play. He was a rookie last season, and so he's going to improve in his second year. I expect their defense to be better. I expect them to add. They have pieces to add around J.J. and Kyler Murray because they have draft picks. They have money to go out there and get free agents. And so Arizona Cardinals are for real, and they're conducted themselves like they are one of the contenders in the NFC. So I ain't mad at that. Am I surprised that he chose Arizona? Yeah, because they were never really mentioned. I saw something in passing from DeAndre Hopkins on Instagram a few days ago.
That
I saw him with the picture of JJ talking about, let's finish what we started. The only thing I looked at that picture and I said to myself, JJ looked kind of clean in that black jersey, but I never thought to myself he would legitimately go to Arizona. It was always being talked about Green Bay, which made a lot of sense, Pittsburgh, which made a lot of sense, Baltimore, which made a lot of sense, Buffalo, which all of these places made a lot of sense, Tampa Bay, Kansas City. These are all places that made a lot of sense. Arizona wasn't one of those teams, but I think the combination of the $15 million a year that they were able to offer him, along with him being able to join up with DeAndre Hopkins again. Jonathan Joseph was out there last season. He's a free agent this year, this coming up offseason. But he could easily resign back for the veterans minimum and be there as well. He has some familiar faces out there, familiar coaches out there, and he feels like he could compete for a championship. And I think that's all he wanted. And so you see him in Arizona.
But see, Wade, I think Arizona makes a lot of sense, too, now that we step back and look at it, right? Because we didn't have them as included in those teams. But what do they have? They've got a good young quarterback.
Yeah.
Would you be surprised if Kyler Murray took a Josh Allen-like step in year three? I wouldn't. With those weapons, I think they're even going to improve some of those weapons. I could see Kyler Murray taking the step. We know quarterback play is important to J.J. Watt as much as he would speak about it with Deshaun. They have all their draft capital. They seem to make really good decisions. They've got weapons like DeAndre Hopkins, Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald out there.
Chase Edmonds.
Pretty good offensive line. They could probably add some things there. Chandler Jones. And maybe Hassan Reddick if they're able to bring him back. So now J.J.'s not set there alone, and instead of looking at Whitney Merciless on the other side of the field, it's now Chandler Jones, a real threat. Like, you look at the crew, you look at their over $17 million under the cap before signing J.J., all their draft. Like, this looks like a team that is saying, we are all in right now to put the best team while we can around our quarterback who's not making huge, huge money. So right now, maybe they don't look like they're as good as Tampa or the Packers, or maybe even some say the Rams. But by the time the season starts, yeah, when we look at their draft and the additional moves, because when you sign J.J. Watt, you're about it because you know you got him 2 years.
Yeah.
You're about this thing. When you look at that, I'm sure J.J. was sold of a plan that they have to put themselves in the category of the Packers, of the Bucks, and of the Rams.
Yeah, and I think J.J. relished the idea of the organization putting their best foot forward and letting them know this is what we're looking to do. These are the guys we're looking to bring in, the types of guys. This is how we're trying to build around Kyler Murray in order for us to win a championship while you're here. We want you to win a Super Bowl while you're here. And when people say J.J. just went there for the money, he could have stayed in Houston and made a couple of million more dollars a year. He could have made the $17.5 million this year if he decided, hey, I want to stick through and be with the Texans. I don't see a scenario where the Texans would say, yeah, we're going to just move on from J.J. Watt, especially if he is willing to stay. Now, they would have tried to renegotiate his deal, I'm guessing, and probably sign. He probably would have signed a very similar contract to what he ended up doing in Arizona to stay here, to where it was $15 million a year instead of $17.5 million a year, and it and add a year or two onto it. But he chose to go Arizona because he felt like he had a legitimate chance to win. And that's the thing about the NFL, man. You can start off the season and say these guys are Super Bowl contenders, but as long as you know that you legitimately have a chance week in and week out to beat your opponent, you feel like you're a Super Bowl contender. And so I think he feels like there's enough pieces in Arizona for that to make sense for him, because I just don't see J.J. as the type of guy that says, I only want the money, so that's where I'm going to go. He could have stayed here in Houston and got $17.5 million, still been revered by the fan base, still been revered by the city, and made extra money and not have to pay as much for moving expenses. So, hey, that's where that is.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, other moves coming from NRG, Nick and Jack making moves. The Texans release quarterback Josh McCown per league sources. McCown interviewed with the Texans and is expected to pursue his career in coaching. But Aaron Wilson of the Chronicle also tweeted this out, Wade, which is interesting. One major priority for Josh McCown is devoting time to his family and to watch his sons play high school football. He will make any future decisions on coaching with that in mind. Big future ahead for McCown in coaching when he wants to pursue that avenue. All right, it's not a surprise that Josh McCown made a deal that he's released.
Right.
But you thought it would be released to, hey, Josh McCown's a part of the coaching staff. Now, from that message from Aaron Wilson, it looks like potentially he may be opting to go watch his kids, which, hey, no problem with that, as opposed to being on the coaching staff next year. And that throws a wrench into things if the plan is to eventually groom him to be the head coach.
Yeah, it seemed like it was preordained that he was going to get released. And then he was going to join the roster as a coach and then start moving up the ladder as far as being a head coach for the Houston Texans. We thought that just seemed like it made a lot of sense. Everything that Josh McCown has been said about him is that he's a future head coach in the making. He's an excellent communicator. I was hearing audio of him coaching up Carson Wentz basically with Philadelphia when he was there earlier this year, and it's like, or maybe it was 2 years ago, but it was this year where he was basically, he was like a coach on the field and a coach in the media room, even though he was a third-string quarterback. Well, now he's saying, hey, I want to go watch my sons play their high school football. I want to take a step back and coaching is a hell of a commitment, a hell of an investment of time and resources into doing that job. And so if you're not all in, you're not going to be able to do it successfully. And so he's like, hey, I want this is something I want to do, but now's not the time. That throws a wrench into the potential plans of the Texans in him getting himself, grooming himself to be prepared to be somebody that is in a prominent role in the organization.
And Wade, maybe the Texans kind of knew this because when they hired Pep Hamilton, by the way, Pep Hamilton, I don't know about you, is the most excited coach on the staff that I have. I mean, I can't think of another coach that I am more, hey, all right, that looks like a forward-thinking and a good coach. He's probably the most excited coach I am. When they hired him as the quarterbacks coach, I was like, whoa, I know that was Josh's job.
Yeah, what does that mean for Josh?
What does that mean? So maybe it's something that they knew walking into it.
Well,
into this.
I look at it like this, man. The Texans brought in a coaching staff, at least the offensive coaching staff, where there's a lot of pieces that have been kind of matched together from all different directions. And from the outside looking in, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
They have something in mind of what they want to do over there, and time is going to tell from our end to figure out what it is. But Pep Hamilton, when he was signed as a coach, I thought that was a good signing for the Texans. It's interesting to me is the fact that Josh McCown was interviewed to be the head coach. If he was offered that role, would he still be wanting to watch his sons play high school football? Mm. I doubt that. I think he would have accepted the role and just became the head coach of the organization. And his sons would have understood. And so maybe Josh McCown doesn't necessarily want to take that role of an assistant quarterbacks coach because they've brought in other people. I don't know how the dynamics went, but that's just interesting to me that we just all assumed that it would be a certain way. And, of course, with the Texans, it ended
never
up
can.
A different way.
You don't know what they're going to do.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, additional moves made by the Texans today. They expect, according to the Chronicle, to keep trio of restricted free agents, P.J. Hall, who came over last year, who played for the Raiders previously, A.J. Moore, the safety, and Pharaoh Brown, who, once he started to get on the field, looked like a pretty good move for the Texans. You could argue Pharaoh Brown and P.J. Hall were two of the moves, really underrated moves that were made by the Texans last year. They're one of the better moves. Those three guys, have any issue with those guys returning?
Not at all. I like all three of those guys, especially for what you're getting them for. You look at Pharaoh Brown, he was one of my favorite players to watch from the Texans last year. He played a very physical brand of football. They would line him up at fullback in the gun. He'd come downhill, smack linebackers in the face, and he enjoyed it. He'd catch the ball on a little 2-3 yard catch, and then he'd drag people for 15. That's the type of guy you want at the tight end position. He plays the game in a very physical nature and so and with the right mentality. So getting him back as a restricted free agent, that makes a lot of sense. P.J. Hall came in, especially early on in the year. He played very well. A former second-round pick that's a local guy, went to Sam Houston State, I believe. And so now, you know, you get him for peanuts to come into the fold. He plays well last season, and now you get him back as a restricted free agent. And A.J. Moore, he's done an excellent job on special teams since he's been with the Houston Texans. You continue to have him in that role, and maybe he can develop into something further down the line. But these are three guys that these are what you call glue guys on a franchise. And they're young, they're inexpensive, and they're productive in their roles. That's the type of players you want on your team.
Many of us have said the Texans should not try to call the bluff of Deshaun Watson. Well, there is one thing they should call the bluff on. One thing that they should think about doing. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint Sterner is out, but
come on now. So
Wade Smith. No, I had to get it done, baby.
Oh man.
Hold on,
man. Wade Smith is in the building here, 12-year NFL vet. You know him, 7-4 for them Houston Texans. One thing I said it, hell of a tease, I believe. One thing I said was, look, man, don't bait him. Don't try to play the game. But the one thing the Texans should not really have major concerns, in my opinion, is if they do, and I am not completely sold that they are going to get to this place, but if they do get to the place of being realistic and understand the best move for this franchise moving forward is to go ahead and trade Deshaun Watson. The one thing that many people have concern with is that Deshaun has that no trade clause that yes. Jack Easterby negotiated. He has the no trade clause.
Second right? richest contract in the history of professional sports, or excuse me, in the NFL.
I don't believe Mahomes has a no trade, but the no trade clause that Deshaun Watson was able to get, a lot of people have concerns that Deshaun can block any deal.
Yeah.
Which is true. But I would argue that that's something I wouldn't worry about that much. Because you have to look at it from Deshaun's perspective. In what situation in the NFL, and hell, just think about the logical teams that have realistic opportunities to get him. Like Detroit really wouldn't be in the mix. You know, Cincinnati, they just drafted Joe Burrow number one. They wouldn't really be in the mix. But hell, all of the other 31 teams, if you are Deshaun, what situation is worse than this one for you? What situation in the NFL, in terms of the ownership, in terms of the front office, in terms of your trust with the ownership and front office, in terms of the coach? I don't know what coach in the league I could put ahead of David Culley. No disrespect to David, just being honest. I don't know if there is a coach in the National Football League that I can say I think David Culley has the advantage over him. The roster is falling apart seemingly by the day. I just don't understand what position or what situation is worse than the Texans, especially for Deshaun Watson. So I can't see him invoking a no-trade clause if it came down to the Texans saying, this is the deal we got. All right, I certainly want to avoid sitting out and losing the money that I would lose if I set out. Now, I think he has the hog to do it, but if he could avoid it, I can't see a team in the league that Deshaun would eventually not say, all right, I'll waive it.
Yeah, when I look at any kind of realistic trade option for the Houston Texans, all of the realistic trade options, opportunities where they could bring back a significant amount of draft capital and people in order to help the franchise move forward. I don't see any of those scenarios where Deshaun Watson is going to look at it and say, yeah, I'm not going
to
go there.
Yeah, like, would he go to the Jets?
Of course he would.
Would he go to the Dolphins?
I think he'd go there too.
Would he go to Washington?
Sure, why not?
Yes.
I mean, but even you skipped one, start off with Jacksonville. That's the one that can give you a significant amount of draft capital. He would go there. I think he would go to Carolina. I think he would enjoy going to Carolina. There's so many places out there that have a significant amount of draft capital and players that they could send back in return for Deshaun Watson. And I think all of them are viable options for him to go to. I do think the only scenario where I could see him using and utilizing his no-trade clause is if there's multiple teams that are on the table. Let's say Miami and New York and the Detroit Lions, which is a weird spot to go because I don't think they'd be involved. But if those three teams were involved, I could see him using his no-trade clause if the Texans said, hey, Detroit has given us the best possible option. But Deshaun also knew, hey, you're getting offers from New York and Miami, which are more preferred destinations
for me. That are comparable.
And the deals are both very comparable. They're very similar. I mean, you guys might feel that Detroit is giving you the best deal, which may very well be true, but I'm going to utilize my no-trade clause because I'd much rather go to Miami or New York. But I just don't see that as a realistic scenario to play out. I think all the teams that legitimately can put their best foot forward in the Texans say, you know what, we're losing a franchise quarterback. We hate that it got to this point, but we're getting back so much in return that we need to make this deal because it's better than the alternative of just saying, you know what, you just sit, Deshaun, and we're going to have, you know, a tremendous amount of uncertainty in our organization going forward. We're not going to know, you know, the people around the building aren't going to know the direction, the potential free agents, potential draft picks, people that anybody that comes to that building, if you have Deshaun just sit, then now there's too much unknown. And that's one thing when it comes to business any kind of operation, you want to eliminate as much and as many uncertainties or any much or as much lack of, you know, cohesion and possibilities as you can within the building. If you can say, you know what, this is who we're going to be and this is the direction we're going to go, then everybody can get behind that and move forward. If there's so much, if Deshaun is sitting to the side and you know he's there and it's constantly being talked about and it's constantly up for discussion, that does nothing for your franchise. It doesn't allow you to improve and move on and get better. And so I think any of these trades that the Texans can come up with and the teams that reach out to them and put forward, Deshaun is going to find one that he likes, and he's not going to need to utilize that no trade clause.
Yeah, it's just this is the most dysfunctional organization right now. It appears to be the perception, and I think that is a perception to Deshaun, that this is a dysfunctional organization right now. And if it came down eventually between the Texans and another team and him not losing $20 million next year and him being able to go somewhere to reap the $111 million guaranteed that he has with his deal, yeah. I don't think, he says, well, you know, the Broncos ain't that good right now. I ain't going. No, Judge, he's going. He ain't said, you know what? I don't know if I like the Raiders. You know, I don't like their colors. No, he's going to Vegas.
Who doesn't like the Raiders colors, bro? You might not like the Raiders. Like the only people that probably don't like the Raiders colors are Chiefs fans. So maybe that has something to do with it.
I think the Raiders have great uniforms.
The Raiders, that's just a classic. One of the all-time best jerseys, uniforms in professional sports. But, yeah, I look at it like this, man. Deshaun is going to want to go somewhere and be in that place. Although he wants to get out of Houston and people are like, oh, yeah, right, he's just leaving us high and dry and he promised he was going to be here and now he wants to go elsewhere. Look, Deshaun wants to get traded to a place that he's going to be for the remainder of his career. There was a lot of extenuating circumstances that brought us to this point. He's a very loyal guy. That's just kind of the way he operates. So any place that's going to show him the buy-in and the loyalty that he's used to giving back and reciprocating, he's going to be all in for going for it. And I think that's what is going to happen when they make a deal.
Show is here with a place of compassion.
Uh-oh.
To the text line, I'm not even mad at you. My first just it ingrained in me is to snap. But I know people are in a tough place here. This person who just texted in, y'all have lost your minds, putting Miami, New York, Jacksonville, and Washington as better organizations. Look at the last 10 years. Houston blows them away. I'm not even upset with you.
Look at now.
Right now. I know it's just hurt.
Look at the last 10 months. You talk about 10 years. All 10 of those years wasn't anything like what it is now.
You kidding me? Miami? They won 10 games last year. You kidding me? They're an organization that's right. Washington's at the playoffs last year. You kidding me? With a guy with one leg, they made the playoffs. They have a hell of a defense. Shout out to Alex Smith. Guy with one leg, they made the playoffs. Jacksonville, the number one overall pick, with all the money they have, the Jets. They look like they know what they're doing comparative to the Texans are the least desirable place to go in the NFL right now. The hell with the last 10 years. The hell with that. Yes, their record's been better. Not today. We have never seen, once again, I want to keep reiterating this or reiterate this. The Texans, we've never seen this before. Like, what has come about? Everything. You all know it. We've never seen this before. Ever.
Never.
An organization.
25-year-old quarterback, first year of his deal, wants out.
And an organization that appears to have a movement that is superseding winning at the moment.
Can I get an amen?
At least that is the perception. We've never seen that.
Mm-mm.
Like to this point, straight up, would you be shocked? And I know this is probably going to break. This may be a topic. Would you be shocked if the Texans somehow made a trade with the Jets or the Dolphins and got up to number two or three, and Zach Wilson, the quarterback at BYU, said, "Nope, I'm going to pull an Eli Manning. I refuse to go to the Houston Texans. Would you be shocked if that happened?
I would. I'd be shocked at that.
You would be?
Yeah, because Zach Wilson doesn't strike me as an Eli Manning type of guy. If it was Kyler Murray coming out of the draft, then maybe. Because different guys have different backgrounds of things being kind of tailored to the way. Zach Wilson is a dude that he's like Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was a guy that going into his senior year, nobody really thought much about him and didn't expect much out of him. Zach Wilson's saying, "Wait, he had a great senior year."
But that agent so now in that ear.
I don't see it with him.
I wouldn't be shocked if they refused to want to come to that. I'm just saying it's a different place that we've never been. All right, coming up, this is the J.J. Watt trade. I think most people could tolerate him going to Arizona. Like, you could understand that. But the thing that I think drives the stake even harder in Texans fans is this about him going to Arizona. You're jealous. We'll explain why coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Clint is out today on his honeymoon. Wade Smith is in. And Wade, I try to look at Tyler and I say, I wonder what Tyler's thinking. And I think this is probably what the real gut punch is. I think there's a jealousy from Texans fans with J.J. Watt going to Arizona.
Really?
And it's not really that you're jealous that you don't have J.J. anymore as much. I think there is some of that. But I think more of it is you're looking at Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted a quarterback number one overall in Kyler Murray 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
2.5 years ago. And you see that, well, what have they done since he's become their quarterback? Drafted him, started to make some moves around him in year one, saw, we might have something special here. He fits our system very well. He's even doing things where we can see it, and he doesn't have great people around him. What are we going to do the next year? We're going to get him a weapon. And they got him DeAndre Hopkins. And they got him DeAndre Hopkins in part because the Texans helped them not have to give up huge resources to get him, but they go and get him a weapon.
Right.
And then they try to help on the offensive line and help defensively. And now you see, okay, they come back. This was a team that was a playoff-like team, right? They didn't make it. They had some injuries, especially to Kyler, at the end of the season, were in a miss a game, but they didn't make it. But they were, you saw the improvement level, right? You would think if Kyler was healthy the whole way, they'd have found a way to beat C.J. Beathard and the damn 49ers had he not missed that game. But you now look, okay, what are they doing now? Now they're bringing in J.J. Watt, adding more to their young quarterback who they see is talented, who they think can be special. And this is what teams do. A lot of smart teams is, all right, got him on a rookie deal. I see, Russell Wilson's, he's pretty good. I see Patrick Mahomes, he's pretty good. Let me start surrounding them with things while I'm not paying them a ton of money.
Right.
And not have to give up a ton of resources in the same vein to do it. So they get J.J. Watt. They get DeAndre Hopkins. They make moves without having to give up a huge amount of resources. They still have their first-round picks. They've got every pick first four rounds next year. I think there's a jealousy factor for Texans fans to watch the Arizona Cardinals, how they're treating their young quarterback that showed promise immediately to the way the Texans treated Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I could see where they would be jealous at the process that the Arizona Cardinals are going about building their team as opposed to the way things have been done here. Like, listen, Kyler Murray is easily one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. At one point this year, he was in the discussion for being the MVP.
After they had that Hail Mary toss to Hop, he was
right there in discussion. That was halfway through the season. And so towards the tail end of the season, he started to tell off towards the end of the season because he started getting banged up. He got injured. But you want to have a situation where you add to your franchise quarterback and not take away from. you know that the Arizona Cardinals, chances are not going to win a Super Bowl next year. Every team, that's the truth. You can have a lot of people that you add to the roster. There's a way you're going about doing things. There's a process. But chances are you're not going to win. The probability. Yeah, that everybody just assumed the Chiefs are going to win a Super Bowl this year. Not everybody, but a lot of people assumed that. They were odds on favorite to win it all, and they didn't win it all. Now, they got to the big game, but they didn't close the deal. That is part of doing business in the NFL. Chances are you're not going to win. But what you want is to see your organization doing the things necessary and putting the processes together that will give you a chance to win every single year. And so either you're building towards it, or you are breaking down and then rebuilding towards it, or you're already there to where you can compete with the big dogs each and every year. And so you could have a little jealousy, like, man, I wish we would have done it that way with Deshaun, because Deshaun was here in 2017 when he was drafted. He didn't start off the bat. That was controversial in itself, but he took a half of the game, and then he was the starting quarterback. And he had his six-game run where he was balling. I think he went 3-3 as a starting quarterback that year. Then he got hurt. But then you thought going into that 2018 season, they're gonna do big things. They're going to have a tremendous amount of success because Deshaun is showing us something at a young age. And they didn't start taking away that year, but it was the following year, 2019, they started taking pieces away. And when you start taking pieces away, when you still have your quarterback on a rookie deal.
And they didn't replenish
those. They didn't replenish those resources. And you can't replenish a DeAndre Hopkins. That's why you don't trade guys like that. You can't replenish a Jadeveon Clowney at that point. That's why you can do it. But you have to be willing to be patient enough to make the right deal to make that happen.
In the same offseason, they take away Clowney and Matthew. I think in that same year, because Matthew then went to the Chiefs last year, so 2 years ago. So they take away Matthew and Clowney in the same year and don't really replace.
And then Kareem was the following year. So you lose Kareem and Hop the same year.
And not really replacing them.
And didn't replace them with anybody. And now you wonder, and you lose DJ Reader, and then you don't replace DJ Reader. You wonder why you can't stop the run. That's the things that went on over the past few years when you had Deshaun at a reasonable number to where you can build around him. You decided, you know what, we can win without DeAndre Hopkins. We're gonna allow Deshaun Watson to become a better quarterback because we're gonna give them multiple options. Just trade for Brandon Cooks then. Keep Hop and trade for Brandon Cooks and then call it a day. Now you got a guy on the opposite side of DeAndre Hopkins that you're not gonna be able to double Hop all damn day. And Brandon Cooks was there for the majority of the season and he's done numbers everywhere he went. They could have very well have done that. Instead, they paid Cobb. Instead, they traded away Hopkins and brought in Cooks, and Cooks was a good addition to the team, but you want to add him to the team while you still got the superstar number one receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, not making him be that guy solo. And so this is where we sit. This is what you get when you look at it and do it a different way. I love the fact that the Arizona Cardinals are trying to build around that guy. It most likely will not work. But when you're looking at the processes and you're comparing apples to apples, you comparing what the Texans did and what the Cardinals did, you could be a lot more happy about what happened than what has happened here in Houston.
Yeah, the space here, as we're discussing here, Clint Sterner in the show, weighed in for Clint, is I feel like Texans fans, you have a right to be a bit jealous when you see what the Cardinals are doing, and that is they seem to be treating their young star quarterback who's entering year three the way that you wish the Texans would have, right? Like the Texans, you talked about some of those guys that detracted from the team. Their additions then were met with, we got to give up major league resources to get those additions. Because year after year two, their addition is Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills, which came with a price tag of two ones and a two. When you look at the last two big pickups and additions the Cardinals have made, they came with a second-round pick, David Johnson, and a fourth swap, and then nothing
with J.J. Watt because he's just a free agent.
Yeah, if you would have got a similar return for Hopkins and Clowney of what you were willing to give away to bring in Tunsil, they balance each other out. And then now you still have assets to move forward and bring in other people. It didn't go that way. You lost on those deals, and then you oversent out assets in the other deal for Tunsil. And so now you're at a deficit. I can't even talk right now. You're at a deficit because you're like, well, damn, we don't have draft picks. We don't have money. Now we have a quarterback asking out. We have our superstar all world, as you would call him, J.J. Watt, that asked out. And now the Texans are stuck trying to figure out what they're going to do going forward. It's all the stuff is self-inflicted. And that's frustrating. At least there's other teams that have figured out how to do it to where, hey, we're going to get our young guy, we're going to build around him, and it may work, it may not work, but we're going to keep ourselves flexible and have the ability to continue to compete year in and year out. The Texans are going to have to, with Nick Caserio in the fold now, they're going to have to start building towards that. And some of the moves I've been seeing over the past, few weeks, few days, per se, are moves that you said these are good, these are little moves, but they're good moves going forward to where things are starting to right the ship, because you got to understand there weren't, Jack Easterby's not a football guy, but he was very much influential in what happened while Bill O'Brien was a GM. And so when you have somebody that's in your ear basically saying, yeah, we can do that, we can do this, we can make this happen, and you don't have anyone really, the checks and balances that you need, now Bill O'Brien can just say, hey, I want this guy in here, let's do whatever we can do, we need to do to get him in here because we need this guy. When you do that, that's like I said, he had opportunity to be the smartest guy in the room, but it didn't happen that way. You start off 0-4, you get fired, and so now you're stuck.
Yeah, you're stuck. So understand why some people wish the Texans would have handled Deshaun Watson the way that the Cardinals are handling Kyler Murray. I just need to sometimes check in and do a mental check on T. Sleazy, our producer. Tyler, how are you, man? How are you? I know you're as diehard a Houston fan of everything. J.J. Watt goes to one of the most difficult places for Houston fans to accept because DeAndre Hopkins is there already. How are you? Where are you at?
It's not good, show. I'm, man, you know, like I told you earlier, the owner of our Texans, Kyle McNair, and Jack Easterby, they keep trying to sell us on this not being Patriots South. And all the while, the dumpster fire continues to burn, and we watch the Arizona Cardinals turn into Texans West. And, I don't feel anymore, man.
See, I don't like. See,
I don't think I can like feel this anymore.
I don't even feel the Tyler energy.
I'm numb.
I don't
numb.
Even feel the Tyler to the T Sleazy energy.
It's a lot of apathy there. A lot of apathy.
Usually, when Tyler has a chance to give a take,
yeah,
this has been bottled up, and Tyler's bringing it. You know what? This is it. He comes in. Oh. Hey guys.
Hi.
Okay, so just, now this is what I sound like.
This is where I don't like it. I don't like what's happening.
Well, I don't like it either, show.
There you go.
I hate
give
it.
Me a little something.
Fight. You got to fight.
Fight to it.
Don't give up.
I saw that news break today, man, and I was thinking all week, when this Watt stuff goes down, I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be real angry. I'm going to be sad. A lot of emotions. It hit my phone as a push notification, and I just didn't feel anything. Mm. I'm numb.
Well, here's something that you'll love. John Gambadoro, who covers the Cardinals for 98.7, a partner of Ron Wolfley, who we had on, he covers them. He says the deal J.J. Watt signed with the Cardinals was not the most he was offered.
Mm.
The Cleveland Browns and Indianapolis Colts each offered more money. Tennessee's offer was very similar.
What does that say to you, Show? What does that say to you that he was willing to take less money to go to Arizona as opposed to going to Cleveland or to Indianapolis?
Or Tennessee.
Or
he
to go to Tennessee.
About the Texans fans. He didn't want to play him twice a year.
Is that's what it was? He wanted.
He still cares about you, Houston. JJ said, nope.
He remembered how Andre Johnson was treated
really
when he went to the Colts.
God,
he remembers like they just. They threw Dre under the bus when he went to the Colts.
You think about them D-line options he had there?
God, him and DeForest Buckner.
That would have been a nice little combination.
Autry on the outside.
Yeah.
And obviously, Miles Garrett, Sheldon Richardson up there.
But he wanted to play with. He wanted to play with Hop. He wanted to play.
He wanted to play
for Vance Joseph. Jonathan Joseph is out there as well. Like there's a lot of pieces out there that I think made sense to him. Kyler Murray, he believes, okay, this guy is going to give us a shot. That's the thing about being a professional athlete. You want to be somewhere where you feel like you have a legitimate shot. If not, you're just being a professional and you're doing your job, but you want to be somewhere where you feel like you got a legitimate shot. And for him to take less money to go to Arizona as opposed to go to Cleveland or the Colts, both two teams that legitimately you could say are better football teams on paper today than the Arizona Cardinals.
You think Cleveland's better than Arizona?
On paper, for sure. Before J.J. Watt added to the team, yeah. Can you think about Miles Garrett and J.J. Watt on the same defensive line? Yeah. That's a problem. But he chose to go to Arizona.
But nobody wants to live in Cleveland. Except Figgy.
No, he didn't either. He moved
away.
Here.
He came here to Houston.
Damn.
Yeah, come on now. Let's be for real.
Biggie wanted to get out of there, too.
Landry came here, too. He was in Cleveland.
Yeah, Landry gave him what he gave him, like every bit of his 9 months at Cleveland. No, I mean.
It's time to go.
But Arizona, beautiful. See, that's the thing. We were just talking. Full circle.
Yeah.
Frustrated. See what Arizona's doing? They're using their built-in resources like the Texans did. They are so similar. Arizona, a desirable, warm weather place that people desire to go to, chill. Houston, the same way.
Gotta love that dry heat. No humidity.
Desirable place to come. Houston is the same way. Good weather. Beautiful place. I know I've enjoyed it.
Great food. Great
people.
They
both had young quarterbacks that people around the league can look at and see, ooh.
Well, both of them ain't got great quarterbacks.
I'm just saying. At the time where they could have been taking advantage of it. I had young quarterbacks that guys around the league would look at and say, ooh, Deshaun, ooh, Kyler, that's somebody that I could see winning down the line.
So those boys were all in until they weren't.
Yep.
Don't get it twisted. They were all in of what was going on here in Houston until they weren't. And there were certain occurrences that went down that said, you know what, it's time. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. And so they wanted out. And J.J. got granted his wish, and now he's in Arizona. Time will tell when it happens for Deshaun Watson. But what you got to hope is when they make the deal, Nick Caserio can start working some magic and bringing in some good picks, and you can build from scratch. And to me, when you look at everything that's going on, that might be the best course of action. Unless you can just get – you would have to make Deshaun Watson make a complete 180 in his mindset, buy into what you got going on in the organization, and then become your number one recruiter so you get people in here to help, because that's the only way you're going to be competitive.
When you said when make the deal, coming up behind us, Texans All Access with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris, I'm sure they will continue the conversation of where J.J. Watt landed, and as well as Josh McCown being released by the Texans and it appearing that he may not be on the coaching staff next year because he's wanting to watch his kids. You said if. I'm going to go around the room here. What's your confidence level, scale 1 to 10, that the Texans will trade Deshaun Watson?
Oh, it's a 10 out of 10.
Oh, you're that confident?
No question. Because what happens in my mind, because I'm looking at it from a football standpoint.
I'm talking about this year, before the draft.
Yes.
Okay.
If they don't trade him, then what you're telling me is you are willing to sacrifice any certainty, any value you get back in return,
yep.
You're willing to sacrifice that to prove a point.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, I just got to step away and look at them and be like, man, I have no confidence in what they're doing going forward. Now, if they do what they're supposed to, 10 out of 10. I have to be optimistic about the team that I support. I'm going to say, you know what? Nick Caserio is going to do the right thing and get the best possible deal he can get. And then now the organization can go forward. And you can look at it and say, you know what, this is something to get excited about. But if you just have him sit, what are you really saying? Because Deshaun Watson becomes, now he costs you $40 million if you try to trade him the following year.
Oh, I got you.
Everything diminishes. And so, no, he's going to get traded. April 29th at the latest. To me,
it's the right move.
Nick Caserio is a pragmatist. I think Nick Caserio is a pragmatist, and pragmatists make the best possible deal. And so that's what's going to end up happening. All the other stuff is just smoke and mirrors so that they can get the best possible deal. But I'm 10 out of 10 for sure that it's going to get done.
You 10 out of 10, Tyler?
Hell no. I don't think I can be 10 out of 10 on anything with this team right now.
Give me a number.
I'll go with a four.
God, that's where I was, too. I'm at a four, too, Sleazy.
Simpatico.
As Wade tells us that that Nick is a guy that, you know, Nick won't
I
let
hope,
this happen.
I hope so.
Nick won't let this happen. But Wade also told us that J.J. Watt decision to not trade J.J. Watt for anything was not in Nick's hands. This, to me, feels like this may not be in Nick's hands. That's why I can't. If it were just left to Nick's druthers, I think Nick, as a GM, a football guy, would say, let me make the move. I don't think this one is just left up to Nick.
What is the end game for Cal and Jack if that's the case, what is the end game for them?
I can't make that make sense to you. I can't make that make sense. There's plenty of moves that I can't make sense to you that they've pulled the trigger on. Great job, Tyler, as always. Perk up now. I want to hear that in. That passion, damn it. Don't let them get you. Wade, always, he's here all week. Clint, enjoy your time in Mexico. I'm Ron, the show Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. Why don't you go in there and go fart together?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.